You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
You know those people who carry both softness and strength, who can raise children, raise their voices in song, and still raise the standard for what's possible in our schools? That's Tshego Dlula. She's the founder of AfriCan Code, and her recent work in Matatiele is something special, bringing coding, robotics, and 21st century problem-solving skills to the very places that need it most. She's not just creating access, she is creating agency. A mother of three, a wife, and a woman with a voice that could fill a stadium, Tshego embodies the beauty of being well-rounded without being watered down. Today, we unpack what it means to bridge the digital divide in our country and why every child, no matter where they live, deserves the tools to shape their tomorrow. Tshego, welcome. This is going to be so good.
Kumi, thank you so much for having me. And listen, can I have that bio? Wow, you talk about me.
This is you, girl. It's all you. How are you doing?
I am really good. I'm doing really well.
I love that. I want us to start with the name AfriCan Code. And I know you've spoken about it on your social media, and I don't know if you've spoken about it here, but it's so bold, it's empowering, and it's full of intention. I know you started off with RoboSteam at first, right? But can you take us into the story behind this evolution? What did the shift from RoboSteam to AfriCan Code represent to you?
Oh, man. First of all, just the process of finding a new name that going versus where you are is something else, because it requires you to think beyond here. You know what I mean? So when we were RoboSteam trained before, and that was great. It confused a lot of people as to what we actually do.
Yeah,
but when it was time to now rebrand and rethink the process, one of our, people working on the brand asked, okay, so where do you see this brand going? And I was like, listen, bare minimum has to be continental, because we feel that our continent has been in the shadows for way too long.
For sure.
And there's a lot of talent. There's a lot that comes from here. So we wanted to essentially say, so we don't want to say we're going to teach Africans to code. We're saying Africans can already. We've got the skills, we've got the talent. We just want to tell you that they can.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm so intentional about not saying African code, because the juice is African code. I love it so much. Now, you recently led a powerful week-long coding and robotics project in Matatiele. I watched as you opened the competition up and people were sending in their suggestions or their applications. And I thought that was so beautiful. Take us into that space. What was the heartbeat of the initiative? And what were some of the moments that deeply moved you?
So this initiative was born initially of the fact that we wanted to celebrate our fifth birthday.
Yes.
Anybody who has been in business for all of 2 days knows that if you make it to that 5-year mark, you've got a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to celebrate in a way that would be unforgettable to us, but not in the form of a party or something like that. We thought, all right, what do we do best? We give back. And so instead of going and just having a party and celebrating this amazing milestone, we thought, let us celebrate by giving back, by giving away. But who do we give to? And we thought, you know what? Let's not be limited to who we know. Let's not be limited to Gauteng. There's so many other schools in need that we will have never heard of because they're not on social media. They're not on the internet. But the people who know about those schools are on the internet. They are on social media. So we thought, let's make a call, nominate a school you believe would benefit from something like this, and it would benefit the community around the school as well. Mm. And we were so overwhelmed by the number of nominations that came in. We were hoping for about 50 or so. That was like the big dream. Big dream was 50 nominations, and we got 161. Like, really.
If that doesn't tell you the work that needs to be done, I don't know what will.
Exactly. And so the project itself, you know, began to grow arms and legs and all sorts of things because we saw the need. A school in Matatiele in the Eastern Cape was chosen by an independent committee because obviously if it was us, we'll be on some... The budget to go far away.
Yeah.
But it was an independent committee, and we figured, you know what? We are taking this. We are going there. God will provide the means. And he did. Wonderful moments, I think. There were so many. There were so many. But the appreciation of that community, the love that they showed us at the end on the last day. I mean, the chief came and she brought a sheep. She literally brought a sheep to be slaughtered for us, to be cooked for us. That is how happy and giving that community was. It was an entire party for the community. They cooked in the big pots outside by the fire. The women in the village came to cook and brought their own vegetables. Nobody spent money. Just to show appreciation for what we've done for the school. My heart, I think I cried for half of that day.
Of course. Of course. Because how are you giving to the community and the community is giving back to you? Like, hey, wait. Who's doing the celebration here?
You know what I mean? Oh, and since then, I've been saying, when you give a hug, you receive a hug in return, whether you like it or not.
Yes, this is true. And you spoke about God showing up and showing off. Do you mind just telling us some of those ways? Because I really want to practicalize it for people, right? So that when somebody experiences a blessing from God and they don't recognize it for what it is, for it to click to them, would say, this is God showing up for something that you have been asking.
Most definitely. This is an easy one for me because none of this was done by our might and our power as a business. We put out that call and nominations came in, and then we reached out to a couple of acquaintances, business associates, and we said, guys, we are doing something like this. Essentially, we're inviting you to our birthday party. What gift can you bring? And we had a company donate a computer lab to the school with 20 computers.
That is major.
You see what I mean when I say we could not have our might and our power, you know. They drove all the way out to Matatiele. They built the lab before we arrived. And so a week before, they turned a classroom that was kind of like a storage library type place where they just threw books and stuff. They turned that room into a computer lab, painted it, did new flooring, did, you know, that those desks that you find in the computer lab, did all the electrical, everything. By the time we arrived, all of that was done. We had the name of the company is Ecolabs Africa. We had a company come and give the children on one of the days the full digital experience. We're talking drone flying. We're talking flight simulation. We are talking, learning to do circuits on code, the little grade R's. We're doing the entire school, as in every single child in that school got some form of an experience depending on their grade and their age. We could not have done any of that.
And I think
we had volunteers from the community come out and help free of charge. I think we had 10 people come in and help us manage the kids while we were training the teachers. Yeah. And the list goes on.
Oh, my goodness. And I think this is a good time to actually talk about the rural-urban digital divide, because it's real and it's growing. From what you've seen, especially with this project that you are doing in Matatiele, what are some of the unseen challenges that both learners and educators in these rural communities face? And what do we not talk about enough when it comes to digital equity?
I'll start with what we don't talk about enough, and then I'll go to the challenges. We don't talk enough about how we assume that we'll get there and teach what we think we want to teach, whereas people do not have even the bare basics of an understanding. The bare basics, the digital divide is a serious, serious thing. Some of the learners are afraid to touch the tablets and things of that nature when we bring them in because what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Educators will tell you, listen, the best I can do is Word. And even then I have somebody type out my reports for me. I don't really play around on this. Excuse me. And so we don't talk enough about the realities of what it looks like out there. And I'm not even getting to infrastructure issues and connectivity and all of that, because we were up deep in the mountains. This principal actually made an effort before we arrived to go and find a router somewhere, which she then purchased with her own money.
Yeah.
So that when we get there, there is something there, because connectivity, Wi-Fi, all of these things we consider part of basic needs are not there at all.
And we assume,
those are just some of the challenges.
Yeah, we assume if I can use a phone, everybody else in the world can. What do you mean?
Exactly. You're using a smartphone to literally, I mean, we barely put our phones down.
No, we don't. We don't put our phones down.
The best you'll find out there is WhatsApp. Generally, and that's not everybody. There's people who are like, no, this WhatsApp thing of yours, if you want to talk to me, call me.
Yeah. Hectic. It sounds so hectic, but it's so real, right? And from the stories you're sharing, Tsego, I'm realizing you're not just running a program, Mama. You're leading a movement, an entire movement. And what are some of the mindset shift or aha moments you've seen in learners and teachers or even parents through your work?
Oh, my goodness. When you say leading a movement, at some point as we were going on and planning this thing, it hit me that this is way bigger than I ever thought it could be. This is way bigger than me. And so it does bring a little bit of fear, but, you know, you bring yourself back.
Yes.
You bring yourself back to coming through there. And so some of the things that we see changing, possibility, that's one thing that for me moves me so much, is when you see teachers, learners, parents, the community see possibility where they were limited. I mean, this is a very rural place. And by rural, I mean the economy. There isn't much of an economy out there in that, you know, you don't find people selling like a plate, for example, to say, okay, at lunch, I'm going to go down to the mama down the street and sell a plate. Like, a plate for what? Everybody here just cooks for themselves. You know, I've got spinach, you've got cabbage. I'll give you my spinach, you give me your cabbage, and we move.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not working all the way out in town, you're unemployed. There isn't, you know, so when you get there and you introduce them to things like this beyond, I want to be a teacher and I want to be a nurse. The idea of possibility when you bring a drone to the school and kids are seeing this drone, it's like,
I can actually
do something other than.
Yes, the possibility is sky high, literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. So for me, the biggest thing is seeing when their faces, literally you see their faces change when that light bulb goes on to say, oh my goodness, this is an actual thing. Well, the lady come out who was speaking to the educators to say, you're getting this new knowledge. What are the possibilities? What can you do with it? Whether it starts a little side hustle for yourself, tutoring other kids that are not in the school, because this school is privileged, but there are very many other schools that would not have gotten this opportunity that do need help. You know, what can you do? And still, even there, possibility. Just, you know, we say we don't sell coding and robotics training. We sell possibility. And that's the thing.
Come on.
Possibility.
And I love that so much. Now you give them this possibility, Tsego, and they see it. They feel it. They it's in their face. But let's talk about sustainability. It's one thing to spark excitement through a week-long initiative, right? But how do we ensure that the flame doesn't die out? What does it take to make digital empowerment in rural areas actually sustainable?
So for us, our program doesn't end after the week. We do have touch base and mentorship and guidance for about 6 months after that.
Yes, love it.
So we have monthly check-ins, and they have access to send us email anytime to say, I'm stuck here or I'm stuck there. And our monthly check-ins are in the form of just to get together online when we have established the infrastructure there to say, let's get together. How are things going? And post that, we also check in to see the learners' results, their marks, to see are the learners improving, especially at your STEAM subjects, science, technology, art, engineering, art and math subjects.
Yeah.
Are they improving? So we're able to check in at the end of term two, at the end of the year, to see, are we passing our exams? That shows us that the teachers are actually implementing the knowledge that they got. And so we keep that relationship going with all the schools that we are in.
I love that so much, Tsegu. And you said you've been doing this for 5 years, right? And I know in these 5 years, it's been a lot of trial and error. Fix this, leave that, try this. I know. It's been really hectic. But in this time, and maybe in the time where you had found your feet and you were beginning to know exactly what you need to do, is there a story that you think back on and you're just like, ooh, yes, that is the thing we can sell to sponsors, to the world, about the impact, the real impact of what we're doing?
Oh, definitely.
Let's hear it.
It was in Witbank. It was a school in Witbank. Mm. We got there and there was a little girl who was, you know, doing relatively okay in school, but she never spoke to anybody.
Okay.
She was very shy, very mousy, little grade one learner.
Mm.
And her max marks went up by 20%. And when we had our showcase at the end of the program, so we were with the kids for about 6 months. And at the end of the program, she was one of the kids that were presenting to all the parents and to faculty and everyone. I mean, this is a little girl in grade one.
In
when
grade
we first got
one.
There, she would not speak in class. She would not raise her hand. And even her teachers told us that, you know what, we actually made a mistake by adding her to the group because she just does not, you know, she's too shy or something is not right. Maybe she's got learning challenges.
Yeah.
And it turned out that even with her learning challenges, the joy of coding and robotics is that you're not learning in the same way everybody else does.
Yes.
So even your neurodivergent learners are able to grasp the information, and a confidence that grew in this little girl, I will never ever forget.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, no, this is it. We've got it.
Yeah, and we're not stopping.
No, we can't.
Tsegu, just paint the picture for me. What do you guys do? What is the training? Just paint the picture for me. I want to know exactly what it is you do, because now I'm just like, can I go back to school? can I be the teacher? Oh, wait, can I be the learner? So what is it that you actually do?
All right. So very importantly, we work with teachers. Normally your lower foundation, your foundation phase teachers are people who are a bit older, maybe some even in their 50s. So we make sure that, one, we establish where they are.
Yeah.
You know, what do they know and how comfortable and confident are they?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And then we start from where they are, what they know, to bring them into what they don't know. So we start with basic problem-solving skills, which is what we call computational thinking, a very important tool to have. Engineers and the likes use it normally, naturally, just it's like a reflex action for them.
Yes.
So we give them that skill, that tool on how to solve a problem, the steps on how to solve a problem. Then we introduce coding and robotics, starting off with unplugged coding, which is coding without gadgets. To say, if you don't have gadgets, because we do go to schools where maybe we don't have a sponsor for resources, and we say, you can still teach the concepts, you can still give the kids the training and the learning, the ability to solve problems and think critically, even if you don't have. So we then use a board game, a coding board game that we've developed.
Come on.
to help them understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on to now the plugged mode of coding and robotics, show them how then do you speak to, in fact, let me take a step back. Do you know what coding is? Maybe for your listeners.
Let's go.
Coding is speaking to an electronic device in a language that the electronic device understands.
Yeah.
Bare basics. That's the most simplest way I can put it. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking in English. I can speak in isiZulu, kibuyesiTswana, but a computer cannot understand those languages. Mm-hmm. So we're teaching how to speak to them.
Yeah.
Right. And in order to speak to them, in order to get them to do what we want them to do, to instruct them, we need to then follow the process of problem solving and computational thinking. That's why coding is so important, even if you're not trying to be an engineer.
Mm.
So we take the teachers then through that process, unplugged and plugged, and then we give them a project to do and they present it on the last day and get their SACE accredited certificates.
Yeah. Is the learning curve not steep for these teachers? And maybe let me ask, which subject teachers do you take through these trainings?
Foundation phase teachers normally teach all the subjects.
So that would be
Literacy or language, mathematics or numeracy, and life skills.
Yeah.
So we take them through how to integrate coding and robotics into any classroom to make learning more fun and make learning more understandable. And then anything above would be your maths teachers, your science teachers, even your geography teachers. So anything in that space, they're able to use coding and robotics. And yes, the learning curve is quite steep. A week is short. So our training is quite intense.
Yeah.
It does come with homework. But because we hold their hand for a couple of months after that, it then kind of eases out because they implement slowly but surely what they learned.
I hope you're creating a course, Lab, an online course.
We are trying to put our course online. It's taking quite a bit of work, but hopefully by the end of the quarter, we've got three courses that are available, a short introduction that takes about 3 hours to complete, a one-day course and the one-week course. The first one that should be done by the end of this quarter is the short introduction, three-hour one, that all teachers can do. Well, anybody can do it, really.
Mm. Because so you could only go to one of the 160-plus schools. So your reach is very limited if you rely on being there in person.
Oh, no, definitely, most definitely, which is why growth is important.
Mm.
But also, in person, you see, the challenge with something like robotics is that it's very practical.
Oh,
it's very hands-on.
Yeah.
It's very touch it, feel it, see it move. Why is mine not moving?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing. So this is one space where the more of us are doing this thing, the better. Or at least the more sponsors, the more partners we've got, because then we can grow our team, grow, you know, employment and employ more facilitators. When one team goes to Matatiele, another team goes to Kabalitsani, and we just flood the country. But definitely online does help, even though some of the communities we go to don't really have access to online. Hence, we do both.
Yeah. Oh, I see it. I see you multiplying yourself. I definitely see it. Now, Tsego, tell me, when you were in varsity, did you ever think that this is how your application of your degree would look like?
Never.
Sure.
Not even if you paid me. I didn't even think I liked kids in varsity.
It is wild.
But, you know, when that thing hits you, it's the weirdest thing ever. I did not think that my qualification would bring me in this direction to education, no less. And here I am. It's not wasted, I'm still managing to do what I'm passionate about with the learnings that I've gotten. So that is, it's crazy. You're right. It's absolutely out of this world.
Oh my goodness. Now you're a mom of three, you're a wife, you're a founder, and you're a creative. How do you hold space for all of these identities while doing such meaningful work? Has motherhood shaped your mission, perhaps, since you never even thought of yourself and kids in the same picture?
Yes, motherhood has definitely shaped a lot of what I do.
Yeah.
understanding kids, also wanting, seeing my own kids. My firstborn struggled somewhat in the first few years of schooling. And the one thing that did help us was the coding. And I was like, this can't just be for my child alone. It cannot just be for my child alone. There's, if I, as a parent, you know, had so much heartache watching my child struggle, how many other parents are sitting there not knowing what to do? And so being a parent definitely did. But holding space for all the things that I do and met, it's a juggle. I always say, and when I used to speak to mothers a lot, I used to say, we are juggling balls. Some balls are glass balls. Yeah. Some balls are rubber balls.
Yeah.
Some balls are steel balls. And if they fall, they land on your toe and you'll be hurt. But you prioritize, you realize right now, my kids are a glass ball. So I need to prioritize them and manage other balls. Sometimes balls are rubber balls and you can ask somebody to, you know what, it's going to bounce away. Can you please go and fetch that ball for me? I will be fine. And balls evolve in their material. So when the kids are much smaller, they're glass. And as they grow older, they kind of toughen up a little bit and you can loosen the reins. And so it's just recognizing which balls you're juggling when and making sure that you yourself, the main glass ball, does not fall.
Yeah, I love that so much. And you've worked in both rural and more urban contexts, right? What lessons have you learned from those two worlds, and how has that shaped how you show up as a leader?
There have been many lessons, and this one kind of hurts my heart. There's more entitlement in your urban areas.
Oh, but of course.
Why it hurts my heart is that entitlement blinds a person from seeing what they need and putting in the effort because I'm entitled to it, so I must just get it, you know, and the kind of effort is not put in as much as what you find when you go to rural areas, and the learners, the teachers themselves will really put themselves into the training because they're like, once she goes,
she's gone. Where will we find her all those kilometers away?
Exactly. And as a leader, it's really forced me to ensure that my team understands that dynamic very much. You know, they need to know when we're going to a school that is a little bit more privileged, they need to be able to read the room and address the educators in the room, or even the learners in the room, if we're talking to learners, in a way that will get their fires lit, irrespective of where they are. Because what lights the fire in the rural is a different lighter. To the urban areas. So, so as a leader of the organization, particularly to my team, I've had to communicate that to them, to say, when you are in there, whether I'm there or not in the room, when you are facilitating, read the room, because where you are, you know, even some of the jokes that you tell, because I always encourage them to just loosen the environment a little bit, use some anecdotes and stuff. Don't use anecdotes about turning a light bulb on and off in a place where they use candlelight. You know what I mean?
It's not going to land.
It's not going to land.
Yeah.
And that's how we end up having a lot of conversations. And I've realized it's actually helped my team grow personally in appreciating and understanding, you know, different people, socioeconomic issues, and all of that. It's beautiful to watch even my team grow.
Yeah. I mean, everybody grows with this kind of work. And I think this is the thing with purposeful work, right? It's not just for the other person. And that's the beauty of it, is that as you pour, you're poured into as well.
Exactly. When you give a hug, you get a hug in return.
You get a hug in return. Shoo. Now, if a young girl in a village is listening to this right now, what would you want her to know about her power and that word that she used earlier, her possibilities and her place in the digital world?
First thing is, honey, you can.
You can.
In fact, even you can.
Yes.
Because painfully so, a lot of the rural a lot of the areas we go to, the narrative for little girls is marry well or take what you can get, you know, when the boys go and do something there in Gauteng and they come back and they bring all sorts of sicknesses. You just got to take it because what else are you going to do? Oh. And I'm saying, young lady, even you can.
Even you. And you're worthy of it, right?
And you are complete. It is for you too.
Yes.
You don't have to see somebody else in that space.
Yeah.
If a little girl, and by the way, I'm a little person, as in size-wise. Mm-hmm. I'm a small person. Mm-hmm. And if a small person like me can do big things like this.
Mm.
And I started late. So there isn't a limitation that you can think of that is a reason good enough for you to not do it.
And you started with less. You started with less. There's more at their disposal now.
Exactly. They get to see more. They get to experience more. Yes. When I started, we didn't have social media and all these fancy things. So we didn't know these things. We had to learn them on the fly, on the go, you know? So the sooner you can, the better.
Yeah.
The sooner you get that confidence, the sooner you believe, the sooner you know that with God holding your hand, literally, the challenges will come, they will kick you, and then you'll get right back up.
Yep.
So you, even you can. That will be like the one sentence
can.
I will never forget is even me, I can.
Yes. Oh, I've only got 3 minutes left with you, and so I want to get into a rapid fire round. 5 questions, 3 minutes. Can we do it?
Always.
You can, right? Okay, number one, code or chords?
Ooh. Not fair. chords.
Oh, chords. Okay, let me move on. This is rapid fire. Tea in the garden or tech in the classroom?
Tech in the classroom.
Okay. One word your kids would use to describe you?
Dance.
Oh, okay. Are you referring to those morning dances before school?
Yes, they are a tradition.
Yeah, a very necessary tradition.
Yes.
A book, podcast, or song that's currently fueling your fire?
I'm reading 2 books.
Okay.
So one is a book very centered around discipline, and the other one is Discerning the Voice of God.
Yeah.
My survival.
What's that one on discipline?
Gosh.
And I'm asking discipline, because God's been on my case about discipline lately. I might need it.
Is it? No, I do have it close by, at least, just to get the name of that book, which has now suddenly disappeared. But it is, it's by the guy who does the stoic things.
The Alchemist person.
Is it The Alchemist person?
Paulo Banban.
Not that Alchemist. Destiny is Discipline. There we go. Discipline is Destiny.
Ooh.
By Ryan Holiday.
Ooh.
Discipline is Destiny by Ryan Holiday. It is calling me on all my nonsense and all my excuses and everything in between.
I'm still stuck on that phrase, that title, Discipline is Destiny.
And the subtitle says The Power of Self-Control.
Let me ask you the final question because I still need to marinate in what you've just said. What's one innovation you hope African Code helps bring to life in the next 5 years?
An educational robot made and produced in South Africa.
Oh, you've been thinking about this a lot, haven't you?
This is where we started. When we started, that's what I was making.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have the money, so I thought, okay, let me go train people in the meantime.
Oh, man. So what a conversation. If there's one thing this interview makes clear to me, it's this. Digital access is no longer a luxury. It's a lifeline. And thanks to leaders like you, we're reminded that innovation doesn't just belong to a few. It belongs to every child in every corner of our country. And the work that you're doing, ma'am, it's not just teaching skills. It's restoring people's dignity. It is unlocking possibility. and it is bridging a divide that has held too many back for far too long. Tsiru, you're a vision. And thank you for your vision, for your voice, for your commitment to a future where no one is left behind and no one is left offline. We honor the work that you do, because the work you do, ma'am, is holy.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you. Just the encouragement I needed, because some days are rough.
Oh, I know. I know. I know, but you're doing so phenomenally. And maybe I'm speaking from a position of knowing where you've been and how the struggle has been. So to see you soar in this way, to see you really immerse yourself in this work and the work finally embracing you, because sometimes it feels like, yo, am I bothering you? it's like I'm the only one that's attracted here, that's interested. Can you at least reciprocate? For me to be seeing the work finally embrace you, finally give you the love you've been giving it, it makes me so happy.
Thank you so much for the kind words.
You're phenomenal. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers, Tsiru.
Bye-bye.
And to you, my lovely guest, what role will you play in closing the gap? And by the gap, I mean whatever gap you are seeing in society. What are you going to do? Because you can see the work we do is not just for us. It is so much bigger than us. It is so much bigger than us. Your future is calling, my friend, and it's asking for you to come to it soon.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.